Life was never meant to be so painful. You and I were not meant to be separated from love, the love we want so very badly. Yet somehow, so many of us end up alone, and more than alone, we end up lonely. This is Kimberly Hart, the author of Get Love. Let you and I spend a few moments together and talk about loneliness, what we can do about it, and what it is. I know that the first thing you think is, well, gee, Kimberly, I know what it is. It hurts. Yes, it does hurt. But you see, loneliness seems unfathomable to us, partly because we don't understand it. We think it's a curse we must live with, that we are alone because we haven't yet figured out how to package ourselves in such a way that somebody else is going to love us. But you see, it's far more complex than that. When we pull someone into our lives to end our loneliness, just based on the law of resonance, we will pull someone else in who is also lonely. And so because people oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes reflect back to us who we are, we will see our own loneliness in them. And they won't be able to do what we want them to do, which is to fill our loneliness, to end our pain. We search for someone else, and what we are crying inside is, please end my pain. When we can't find someone to end our pain, because it truly doesn't work that way, we have all sorts of mechanisms that we use to try to end the loneliness. We work obsessively. We shop compulsively. We abuse food and drugs and sex to diminish our feelings of separateness, because one of the definitions of loneliness that I particularly like is that loneliness is a separation from love. But it's also more intricate and complex than that. Loneliness is so dangerous to us because we allow it to rob us of our own personal security, of our self-love, and of our personal power. So I like to call loneliness the silent thief, because that's exactly what it is. When we allow it, it holds us hostage, and the ransom is our confidence and our personal power. I want to let you know that loneliness is not a condition of life or a condition of searching for love. Too many of us accept it as that, like taxes or death, that is inevitable. No, it's not. It is not inevitable. We first need to understand it. There are many different kinds of loneliness. There is mourning, which is the natural experience that happens after loss. There is what my friends at Concept Synergy call the lonely future, and that is not knowing what's next in our lives. We don't know how to create a future that is filled with hope and dreams and excitement and thrill and success and manifestation. We don't know how to do that, so we experience a lonely future. Another form of loneliness is abandonment. This form of loneliness embodies all our feelings of being deserted because we feel not good enough. Some of us fear this type of loneliness so much that we're willing to sacrifice our very personhood, and we greatly dishonor ourselves by staying in unhealthy relationships. Another level of this type of loneliness is self-abandonment, where we become so disconnected with ourselves. It's a vain attempt to escape the pain within inside of ourselves. So what we do is we abandon our connections with ourselves, with our own inner truth, what we really want, what we really plan for our lives. Instead, we say, I'm never going to be good enough, so why even try? So we stop searching for a future that fulfills us and makes us feel like the human being we always planned ourselves to be. No one at 7 or 14 or 21 said, you know what, I'm going to grow up to be a loser. I'm going to grow up to be disconnected from everybody else. I didn't do that, and you most certainly didn't do that. Yet somehow, loneliness is pandemic. We are so disconnected from first ourselves and then others. Another form of this very complex feeling called loneliness is being alone. Some people will do almost anything not to be alone, because for them, Aloneness is not solitude. It is not the grace of silence. It is not the space to just be with ourselves. Instead, it is a hollow calling of the empty walls that says, you're not good enough. No one's ever going to love you. This is all life is ever going to be. That is called being alone. From a standpoint that is not the beauty of solitude, but is the self-desertion of ourselves. The next form of loneliness is despair. Despair is much rarer than we would like to believe. Despair is about feeling totally abandoned to the point where you are hopeless and helpless. What does that mean? That means that we get ourselves into this place of despair where there is nothing we can do, and so there is no hope. Very few people get to that point and stay there. We might fall into the depths of that from time to time, but usually self-pity saves us. What I mean by that is when we taste the acid pain of despair, it hurts so badly that we start moaning and groaning and move ourselves up into self-pity, which is different than despair. Because in despair, you will not even open your mouth and tell people that you are hurting because the pain is too deep to even voice. Self-pity, as we all know, we're going to complain to other people. But despair, a form of loneliness that is absolutely incredibly painful and rarer than we believe. Because we fear being alone, because we fear despair, because we fear the future, and because we so often fear abandonment, we are easily manipulated. Advertising firms use it all the time to manipulate us to buy their products. If your teeth are whiter, you'll be loved. If you use a breath mint, you'll be kissed. If you do the right car, if you wear the right clothes, you will be admired and people will want to be with you. And you won't be abandoned or alone or in despair. You will be with other people because, after all, isn't that the promise? Sadly, the implicit and explicit message is, if you don't do the right thing, you will be alone and lonely. With this type of barrage attacking us from infancy on, it's not surprising that loneliness or the threat of it has become so devastating and so absolutely immobilizing to so many of us. I don't know about you, but I would be embarrassed to admit how often I got caught in the melodrama of loneliness, the self-pity, the moaning, the stories, if only he had done X, if only she had done Y. I've been there. And you know what? It got to the point where I said, enough. And it's time that you do as well. Because what happens if we don't is there is no future that we want to step into. So a little at a time, we begin to die. Pieces of us die off. Our motivation, our anticipation of a good life, our expectancy that life is going to be absolutely wonderful and work out the way we've always wanted it to be. We can hear in our heads when we've given up on our future, the things our parents told us, don't want too much, don't expect too much. If your hopes get too high, you'll only be disappointed. And I, i.e. your parent, I'm trying to save you from pain, so keep your expectations low. Now, what I'm going to tell you is exactly the opposite. Have the highest expectations for life that you can possibly imagine. Because how life really works is like this. If you reach for the stars and don't get it, you will be satisfied on a very real level by the fact that you now have a new foundation upon which to stand. And from that new foundation, you can reach for those stars that you didn't get the first time through. But if you diminish your expectation, you will know that you cheated yourself from the get-go, and you will be in even more pain than you might experience if you reached for the stars and only got partway there. And the same is true when it comes to dealing with loneliness. If you lie to yourself and say, I don't really want a relationship, when you do, or I don't really need friends, when all human beings need some sort of connection with someone else, when you diminish what you're reaching for because you have told yourself the lie that no matter what you do, you are never going to get the type of connection that you want in this world. When you do that, you abandon yourself and guarantee loneliness. Remember, mourning, which is a natural product of loss. Lonely future, you don't believe in the future. You don't believe you can have what you really want. Abandonment, either from others or yourself. Being alone, not in the joy of solitude, but in the empty walls screaming at you that you will never be enough for anyone else. And despair, that rare type of loneliness where you have given up all hope. Those forms of loneliness will haunt you, one or the other, if you will not reach for what you really want, which is connection. Connection with yourself first and then with someone else. And the day came when I was ready to move on. I was sick and tired of myself and allowing loneliness to mobilize me. And the only way I could figure out how to diminish the fear of loneliness was to fight it and to release myself from its clutches by accepting that the only person who could give the loneliness monster that I believed in power was me. I'm the one who gave it power. I'm the one who allowed Madison Avenue to manipulate me. I was the one who allowed the culture of my society, who told me I had to be with someone to be a fulfilled, successful human being. I allowed that level of manipulation to become my beliefs and how I saw the world. And I decided no more. And I invite you too to decide no more. So I sat myself down and I tried to figure out, why was I so afraid of loneliness? How had it immobilized me? And for me, I journaled. I journaled because I wanted to know what I really thought. And I knew that I was pretty good at duping myself by speaking a good story, but not really digging into what I was really feeling. Sometimes it's really hard to dig into your feelings and be honest with yourself and to do that alone. So what I did is I partnered with other people, people that I trusted. A lot of people? Nope. But a few people. And we talked about situations in my life where I felt really separated from love, where I didn't think anyone loved me, where I didn't feel like I belonged. And we dug into them. I would write in my journal, and then we'd sit down and talk about them. Do you have someone in your life you can do that with, where you can journal about a particular situation? Let me give you an example in my own life. I was living in Running Springs, California, and I had just been fired from a job that I was thinking about quitting. But just because I was thinking about quitting doesn't mean I wanted it to end. And I was summarily fired. And I was sitting alone in my home overlooking the forest and crying. Self-pity, of course. But when I journaled it, it was even deeper than that. I told myself, see, you'll never be enough. You'll never fit in. Have you ever felt that? That you'll never be enough? That you'll never fit in? What I will tell you about being fired from that, the last job I ever had where I worked for someone else, it was the springboard I used for the career that I currently have. But what moved it in from a disappointment into loneliness is the following secret. Loneliness has a particular formula that must occur for it to be true loneliness. No matter the circumstance, loneliness comes when there's a sudden shift in expectation. And the operative word is sudden shift. I went to work that day thinking, I'm not sure I fit here. Maybe I need to look someplace else. When they said to me, you don't fit here, go look someplace else. It was a sudden shift in expectation because I thought, they thought I was doing a good job. Obviously not. Obviously, they thought I didn't fit in. But my sudden shift of expectation moved me into loneliness, the feeling of abandonment, the feeling of not having a future that I could see immediately. Those were two of the forms of loneliness that I was in. I didn't go into despair. What I did is I got mad and fought back. I used anger to move me out of the loneliness. Anger might not be what motivates you. Maybe it is hope. Maybe it is because you want to inspire other people. Maybe it's because you're just bloody well sick to death of being lonely. Whatever it is that moves you out of loneliness, when you journal it, notice the sudden shift of expectation that happened before each and every time you were lonely. And if you are not a journaler, that's fine. Talk to a friend. Text a friend. And say, you know, the next time I tell you I'm lonely, I want you to call me on it so that you and I can both sit down and think, what sudden shift of expectation just happened? I thought that guy would like me. I thought that woman thought that I was really something else. They didn't call me. They didn't text me. They didn't connect with me. I thought I fit into that group, but that they didn't invite me to go with them when people were hooking up. Take a look at the moment when you were lonely and notice that there was a shift, a drop of expectation, and you moved into one of the different types of loneliness I've described. So enough. Now you should be asking the question, well, okay, Kimberly, you didn't have to tell me that I was lonely. I already knew. Well, in order to solve it, you have to know what kind of loneliness you're in. So figure that out. And now what I'm going to tell you is the secret cure to your loneliness is your willingness to receive. Not to protect yourself, not to camouflage yourself, not to package yourself, not to shield yourself, not to create a persona, but to risk true visibility and vulnerability so people can get to know you. And they will accept or reject the very real you and not the persona. We, you and I, rarely risk that because we don't want to be rejected for who we really are. We would prefer to be rejected for something we're not. Now think about that. Think about that. No wonder there's a pandemic of loneliness. We won't let people really see us. We won't let people really near us. We won't risk that. We don't know how to receive. It's time you and I stepped out of loneliness and learned how to receive. Get Love, How to Transform Your Love Life, step by step shows you how to receive. I recommend that you read it, that you do the homework assignments. If not, take what you've learned in this moment that you and I shared in this conversation of love and decide, are you willing to at least recognize what levels of loneliness you are in and then to say no to those by looking for avenues to receive in a new way? If the truth is you have no clue how to receive, then be honest with yourself. Don't abandon yourself in this moment. Instead, reach for help. Read, Get Love. Maybe get a bunch of people together and read it together. Do a book club, either in person or online, and talk about the love letters. Talk about your love life. Talk about what you've learned there. End the separation from love. End your loneliness. You are the only one who can. This is Kimberly Hart, the author of Get Love, and I wish for you, truly, the love you so richly deserve.